This is WSIU. I'm Jennifer Fuller. Assistant U.S. Secretary of Energy Chris Smith visits the SIUC campus this week. I talked with Smith, whose focus is fossil fuels.
That's a key part of energy security. It's a key part of our economic development, and it's also a key part of our effort to develop those technologies that are going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and address this existential problem or challenge around climate change. So our programs are geared in two directions. I mean, one is looking at efficiency and ensuring that we're developing the right technologies here in the United States. But the core of everything that we're doing is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that come out of primarily out of coal-fired power sources, but also out of natural gas-fired sources and out of industrial sources, with the idea of we want to ensure that all of our sources of energy remain relevant in what we see as being a carbon-constrained future.
I know that there's a significant amount of research along this line that goes on here at the SIU campus. There are things like coal gasification, there are, you know, sequestration and things like that. Are there technologies on the horizon that you think will be not just good at taking those greenhouse gases out of the environment, but also be maybe not cost prohibitive to the companies that will be using them?
They're not on the horizon, they're here. And that's the core of our program here. So I'll mention a demonstration that we're doing down in South Texas that we're doing in partnership with industry, with NRG, which is an energy company that invests in these technologies. It's the largest coal-fired power plant in the United States. They're doing a post-combustion retrofit, which means it's an existing plant that they are adding on additional equipment to capture the CO2 instead of sending it up into the environment. They're taking that CO2, compressing it, putting it into a pipeline, and using it to help produce incremental barrels of oil in a depleted field. So those are barrels that would not have been produced otherwise, and otherwise we would have had to import from other countries. The benefits of producing those extra barrels and not having to import those barrels from other countries pays for the investment in the kit that you have to invest in order to capture the CO2. So we understand a lot about the economics of these projects now. What we do need to do is get more projects under our belt, make sure that we're working with industry and academia to push the technologies forward. And with each one of these projects, we see incremental learnings. We see improvements in costs that make them more competitive, ensure that all the energy forms that we have here are remain relevant.
What would you say to students who are taking a look at a career in the energy industry, particularly in this region? They're still looking at coal. They're still looking at, you know, the traditional extraction of things like oil and natural gas. Is there a future there, or what sorts of things should they be focusing on to move them into this next generation of energy production?
Well, 40% of the power that we produce in the United States still comes from coal. So coal is an important part of our energy security. It's still the base load generator in many parts of the country, and so it remains important. But as we look at our climate goals, we realize that we have to develop these technologies to reduce the greenhouse gas footprint. So those two go hand in hand. And so we've all of the research that we do here is a collaboration with industry, it's a collaboration with academia. So I think there are real opportunities to ensure that these technologies are developed here in the United States, and that we are developing them here and we're able to export these technologies to other countries. And so the U.S. keeps that technology leadership.
I know that people really closely watched in this region the FutureGen project, which, it's a shadow of what it was introduced to be, and it's really not going in the direction that a lot of people had hoped. Do you see anything like that in the future, you know, a very large public-private partnership?
Well, we have a few ongoing right now, and you know, one of them is the partnership that I mentioned down in Texas, which is an active project. We've got regional partnerships that are capturing CO2 and putting into the ground across the country. We've captured over 10 million tons of CO2 to date for these major regional partnerships. And so, indeed, I do believe that these type of collaborations will continue to be important in the future. They're the very center of our project. But you know, as we've noted, they're challenging. They're difficult. It's hard being the first company to commercialize and build a particular technology. But we are seeing some real successes, and we think that's going to go into the future.
If you had to kind of take a look into a crystal ball and look 5 years into the future, maybe even further, 10 or 20 years into the future, what does coal production and coal energy look like at those times?
We're going to have to continue to improve the technologies. We're going to have to continue to roll them out, and we're going to have to continue to commercialize them. I was really encouraged with the results out of the climate negotiations in Paris, where we saw 190 countries make specific commitments to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, including the United States. And part of our commitment is a Clean Power Plan, which allows states to set their own levels, or to allow states to come up with their own plans for establishing a path to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in their area. And that includes carbon capture and sequestration. So going forward, we want to ensure that all forms of energy remain relevant, and that applies to coal as well.
Chris Smith is the Assistant U.S. Secretary of Energy for Fossil Fuels, and he'll be a guest of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute Wednesday afternoon in Carbondale. For more information, go to paulsimoninstitute.org.